Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Hello and welcome to the Aware Show. I am Lisa Garr, and today we're just going to take a moment and we're going to learn about what connects us, what is the fabric of our world, our community, our society as we know it. All systems, physical, non-physical, every system that we know of is completely, completely connected. Joining me is Robert Williams. He's the inventor of quantum code technology, which is, it's a subtle energy field that affects all systems on Earth. He has some incredible scientific breakthroughs in field-based technologies and consciousness, an incredible story as well. I just want to start off by saying thank you for being on with me today, Robert, and welcome to the Aware Show. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. It's a privilege to be on your show. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. You know, it's a tough interview. I mean, opening to even do. How do I even say the fabric that connects all humanity? What does that even mean? Yeah, it's a big topic. Tell me a little bit about your background, where you started off. You have a great, rich history here. Mostly as a meditator. Let's talk about that starting off.
Well, I actually started off seeing things that other people didn't see. One of those, being in my own little world. I think we're all born clairvoyant, by the way, and we all can see things. Often we just negate them because of our programming or because of the belief systems in our families or whatever. But fortunately, I didn't have that, and so I was very aware of the unseen celestial worlds, and even as a child. And so the reason I started meditation was to recapture that reality, that experience. And yeah, there's all kinds of stories I can tell.
Yeah.
I first just want to call out that the name of your show, The Aware Show, I just love that title. I know you came up with it, but awareness is love. Awareness is healing. Simple awareness. The simpler our awareness can be from moment to moment, the more access we have to love. And so thank you for, I mean, it's like, wow, I'm on the Aware Show. This is so cool. This is so beautiful. This is love. This is life itself.
It is. It all connects back to that pure frequency of love, which we're going to get to. But it's interesting, Robert, I can't tell you how many interviews I do where the word aware comes up. And it's not just because it's the name of the show. It comes up in so many different bodies of work. I mean, almost everyone that I interview, it has to do with awareness. It's the beginning of any solution that we want to find is awareness. And so is love. It leads us right into love. Now, when you were young, you had this maybe clairvoyance, we could call it, when you really truly could connect with spirits, but that could not have gone over well as an adolescent, or it had to have been very confusing what you were seeing.
It was, and my parents did become concerned after a while, I think when I was a young teenager, because they thought it was just imaginary friends and I would grow out of it. They did take me to get tested, and I had some tests to make sure I didn't have a brain tumor and things like that. They couldn't find anything. Fortunately, they couldn't find anything wrong with me. So the doctors just said, you know, Bobby, I just wouldn't talk about these things you're seeing. So let's just have this little secret, okay, because people are going to get upset. And I took that advice. And I just, and even now I seldom talk about it. It's a skill that we all have our individual unique gifts. We all have our born talents and so forth. Some people are more apt to be a musician and some others are modern art. We all have our ways of interacting with life. Mm-hmm. And the clairvoyance has served me because it's a reference to some of the things that I've been so interested in, which is consciousness, which is who we are, why we're here, planetary issues and collective consciousness. So I just, I've come out and admitted that I see these things, but it's not the basis of everything. It's just like any one of these arts or talents isn't the basis. The basis is love. The basis is that awareness that you talk about so many times.
Well, it led you, though, to a specific journey. I mean, it led you to this deep introspective journey of trying to find out what is. I remember reading in your book that you went through long periods of time where you didn't eat, you didn't sleep. You really wanted to get to the answers of it all. That was a significant part of your life. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I had a near-death experience in 1979. I think I'll start there. I was very ill. Prior to that experience, I was a professional musician and pretty successful. I was playing in the backup band for the Beach Boys. And you're probably too young to remember.
Very successful. No, that's huge. Yeah.
They're so long ago, but they were pretty big in the 70s and 60s.
Yeah, I think.
But so I had a full life up until then and became very sick for mysterious reasons. So I had the doctors kind of didn't know what to do, so they gave me 6 months to live. They said, if I don't come to the hospital now, if I don't check myself into the hospital, I would be dead in 6 months. So we don't know what's wrong with you, but we got to get you in here. And I had that intuition. I had the strong feeling that that would not serve me, that that wouldn't be my way out of this crisis of health I was experiencing. So in a sense, I prayed to God, and I didn't have a specific, you know, it wasn't a specific religion or anything like that, but I had grown up seeing nature spirits and celestial and occasionally these beings that would come and go in the forests particularly. So I really didn't believe that if I died, my physical body, I would be awake or I would awaken in some other body. And I really, really believed that and saw evidence of that. So I was back into my sickness story. I was just bedridden and could barely move around. And one day I was stumbling around and fell over and hit my head, crashed into something hard, and was out of my body. And so we've all heard of these near-death experiences. So I saw my body on the bathroom floor. And yet, I think for me, it was such a release. It was such a wonderful, liberating experience. And looking at myself on the bathroom floor, I had the thought or had that telepathic knowingness that I was dying or I had died. And I just turned and surrendered into it. I think that's why I bypassed a lot of the other experiences that I've read about with near-death experience, because I just went right to the light, to light, and there was nothing else. And it wasn't until I became just a bit separated from that light that I then could realize I was in the light. We are all light. It's a little difficult to talk about, but there is such a baseline or such a like we say, the fabric of everything is love, the fabric of our very consciousness, the fabric of all the mysterious and beautiful things of this entire universe is based in this energy. It's based in energy that has pure potential, that is pure potential, and has an infinite amount of possible outcomes. And then as precipitation occurs in these physical realities take hold, the earth is created, our bodies are created, our soul groups are created, our individual dharmas are positioned, the light never goes away. It's always in the essence, as the essence, as the foundation of all. And so so I realized, I didn't realize all that at once, but I was in that light as the light. And there was a communication, a question that I had a choice to go back or to go back into that light, pure, infinite, no boundaries, or go back into my body. And I asked if I had a purpose. The answer was yes. So I surrendered this time. I surrendered to go back into what I knew was a painful situation. But it wasn't an instant return. I could say, became aware of these different dimensions as I returned to my body and saw these wonderful things, which I write about in the book. And one of the domains that I experienced and I later then would travel to consciously, and I can talk about that, but there are geometries and symbols and a reality that's a blueprint for this planet that is without suffering. So we have this current dilemma. We have suffering, and there are tragic things happening all the time, right now. We know this. And it's uncomfortable for us to even think about it, much less see it and be in it and have our own bodies break down and our own sorrows of tragic loss. And at the same time, there is a blueprint that is positioned here and now that is, you could say, ready to show itself as a planet based on love. And in love, there is no suffering. And at first, there will be less suffering, and there'll be less turmoil and less confusion and less horror, less cruelty. So I saw that reality, and when I got back into my body and wiggled my toes, just like kind of waking up from deep sleep, I was living in Santa Barbara, beautiful time of year, March, springtime, and we had a beautiful garden and by the ocean and all that, and I remember hearing the insects in the garden and hearing the birds chirping and hearing just the sounds of nature. But this time, those sounds were full of love. They were full of information, more specifically. And later I did research on even the intervals that birds sing in. This is all, they're not random.
Wow, really?
They have these relationships of energy that are part of the ecosystem and part of nature. So anyway, I'm laying on the bathroom floor and I'm listening to the sounds of nature, the wind. And I understood that the intelligence of nature was the same intelligence that had started my heart beating again, that was breathing me. And for about 4 or 5 minutes, there was no difference. It was as if nature was living me, and I was a servant to that that life force or that consciousness or that intelligence. And talk about feeling love and feeling held, and the heart, everything is going by itself. Everything has an innate intelligence, and we have free will.
Right.
We can make choices, and we have that gift of co-creating with our own lives, and we can even change our breath. So that's what started my second phase of my life, I suppose.
Well, I want to go back to that, if you could, about you know, being so in tune with music and even a very talented saxophone player, so that the Beach Boys, you know, picked you up and had you travel with them for such a long period of time. How were you able to hear the symphony of nature? What chords did you relate that to? I just want to go into that for a second, because...
What a wonderful question.
I've had this experience as well, just listening to nature, and it's so beautiful. It is so quiet.
It is beautiful. Here's the... I've never been asked that question, and I'm so glad you asked.
I want to know.
Well, we are not limited by our five senses, or I should say we have wonderful senses, our sense of hearing, sight, smell, taste, touch. I think I got them all. Mm. And mm-hmm. So those five senses send information to our consciousness if we are aware. So if we're hearing something, it's hitting our eardrums. For some of us can't hear that way, but let's just say for now we can hear physically. So there's an acoustic dynamic. We can hear the birds singing. So that is one level, but everything has information that is being carried on it. So my voice is one source of information. It has an acoustic, mechanical. It's at a certain frequency. Somebody could do an oscilloscope on my voice and say he's in this range here and it's got certain intervals. But yet there is also my emotion, some consciousness that hopefully is getting through the other side of this communication. And,
right.
And then there's consciousness that you're participating with this dynamic. So what I'm kind of exploring here as I answer your question is that we have higher senses, higher vibratory, sensory nervous systems. And the more aware we become, the more those higher vibratory sensory nervous systems give us information. And so instead of just hearing some birds chirp, we hear amazingly beautiful orchestras that are congruent with everything else that's happening. And sometimes it is experienced in acoustic situations, and like at a concert or a symphony or the Beach Boys, and we get to that place. We've all experienced this, you know, where all of a sudden everyone is into the music. Everyone is swaying, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And we lose our individualities there for
right.
a moment.
Yes.
We lose, you know, when we would play Good Vibrations,
yeah.
the musicians could tell. It wasn't every time we played it. It wasn't just the song. But we were in that zone, and we'd look at each other. We'd kind of just know, you know. And then the security people, the ticket sales people, and all the audience, we were in one collective phenomenon. And our higher sensory nervous systems had presented our own consciousness, our own awareness, with a higher potential of life, a higher frequency of love. And after the show was over and the encores were done and people were, you could just tell and seeing auras, the auras were brighter, they were lighter, people were
yes.
leaving in an orderly fashion.
Yes.
That love
yes.
was already there, it was just unveiled. So
it was organized,
unleashed, unveiled.
Yes.
Yeah, so we have that higher potential of life in all ways, including our hearing.
What about the shapes, the sacred geometry? It has to do with all of this as well, right?
Sure does.
Did you see that? That is fascinating what you just talked about in terms of the frequency, but it's got to also organize in terms of shapes.
Yeah. Every sound has a form. Every form has a
right.
frequency, has a relationship with energy. Anything that is vibrating creates a pattern.
Hmm.
And there are patterns that we can say are so fundamental to creation, to nature, to the universe, that they've found themselves in plant growth, in our own very cells. These are patterns or relationships of form that is often called sacred geometry or geometries or ratios. And what I saw in one of my out-of-body experiences was these symbols in these forms. And then what I began to learn was that these ratios are the foundation of living things. Some scientists call it negentropy, which means there's laws of thermodynamics which says everything should be decaying really fast and we should be going towards disorder and back to the to the dust of randomness. But of course that's not happening. And what is happening with life and with our own consciousness is there are higher and higher levels of order, and the transferring of one state to another follows these geometries, follows the harmonics of fundamental tones. Here's another cool thing. In all the indigenous art, there are certain mandalas that show up, certain ratios of energy that show up in all the different art, these symbols. And so when an artist is in that zone and starts to put something on a cape wall or a canvas, we are accessing these geometries and we're seeing them, we feel them, and they show up in beautiful art. So it's hard to explain, but there are also mandalas that are in the Vedas. That are indicative of higher states of consciousness.
Mm.
So the Vedas and other religions, other ancient religions, they talk about these different phases, just like the four seasons, just like the different phases of a plant, from the seed to the stem to the leaves, and then finally to the flower. The patterns or the way that information changes from, let's say, the stem to a leaf follows the subtle energetic compressions of these geometries. So the mandalas are saying, this is the time for consciousness to shift. And when we see and recognize these symbols in nature and feel the subtle energy imprints of this mysterious source of love and information, then we actually begin to resonate with our own higher frequency consciousness. So that's the importance of these symbols.
So the question then is, with all that we're seeing with, natural devastation, we're seeing divisiveness, hatred, how do we align those things to this, you said, natural harmonic resonance, where there is everything goes towards order.
Yeah.
Where there is, okay, you said this, that there are domains without suffering.
Yes.
So how do you take those that would never, ever have this conversation, and to those that are having this conversation, can we start to direct that energy towards those domains that are without suffering?
We certainly can, and there's one part that's automatic, that's nature changing the seasons.
Right.
And so the season of humanity, I'm talking millions of years perhaps, there is a distinct bridge we're crossing. And so that is an automatic, just like we wait it out, winter, plants are blossoming in the dead of winter most of the time. So we just know winter will come to an end and the season will change.
Mm.
But it's been so long in this season of suffering, in this season of self-contraction, season of fear, that it seems unbelievable to think
it'll change,
and think of something better even, or think of something without suffering. So part of it is on an automatic, because the seasons of consciousness, the seasons of humanity, the season of humanity is changing. The other part is our free will, and that's where awareness comes in. What we put our attention on grows. What we put our attention on becomes more and more powerful.
Uh-huh.
what we, it's not so much positive thinking, but it is the aspect of our hearts that can discern what is going to bring energy, what is going to resonate with our higher truth, you could say, with our higher love, like Stevie Winwood, higher love, and all these beautiful songs that have been written about higher states of love. And as a mother and a father, we know about unconditional love with our children. Is that possible all the time? Well, of course it is. And so our awareness can enhance this change of consciousness, this blossoming. This is where our practice comes in. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? Oh, I'm, you know, thinking about my pain or my wound or this person or that person. We can certainly respond in many ways to tragedy. And I'm not saying to dismiss our urge and our urgency to help others in times of needs and help ourselves and all that. But when there are these moments between, when there are pauses in our thoughts, then we have that free choice moment. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? And ultimately, if we put our attention on our heart chakras and love, we start loving, we start accepting all of our thoughts, all of our emotions. And if the pain is not too great, we accept the pain. We don't try to run away from anything, nor are we running towards anything. This is a practice. And we just are there. We are there witnessing life, and we're not concerned about the next moment. We are here now, and we are aware. And that positioning of our own self-awareness opens up huge doorways for healing, for epiphanies, for insights, for solutions to our problems. We have a lot of problems on the planet, and they're not going to be solved in the state of consciousness that created them. That was
right.
One of my favorite people, Einstein.
Well, let me ask you this. Can you, knowing as much as you do about frequency and about chaos theory and about how to move toward things towards or how they chunk up towards the highest order, can you go into, with intentionality, a chaotic situation and break it apart at the particles that it was created at?
Yes. Yes.
Ooh, can you?
Consciousness is at the basis of everything.
Is it that directional?
Hmm?
Is directional?
Directional. What do you mean by directional? That's interesting.
Can you focus it? Can you really?
Yes. I see. Yes. So, it has to do with the heart. That that desire, if you will, has to be a function of the heart. It can't be, or it's limited if it's a function of our minds and our agendas. So, for instance, a hands-on healer, and I'm a Reiki master and I've done hands-on healing. When we put our hands on somebody and we have the intention of healing or health, the more you get out of the way, the more effective the healing occurs. Mm. That is a process of the heart loving and accepting the current situation. So my heart as a healer is accepting the person on the table or the person sitting up. And he or she might have cancer, and we've gone through all these, you know, I'm not thinking, oh gosh, please, please, I really want this cancer, or, you know, the cancer could be amended by this or that. Those are helpful bits of information. But ultimately, we are surrendering ourselves into this moment of exchange, and automatically healing begins to occur, or neg entropy begins to increase, or order begins to happen in a system. And some hands-on healers are so powerful that they heat up. There's all this energy that comes from that light, and it goes in there, and what a brain surgeon couldn't figure out, or what a cardiologist could not learn enough of, happens. And then those are those spontaneous healings and those miraculous cures. Where are we in that process? We are in our hearts. We are in unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that unconditional love has a very strong power to it.
The unconditional love leads us to our next highest level of good,
oh,
whatever
that's wonderful.
That is.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That makes sense. Now, how did you come to discover this, the quantum code technology that I had mentioned earlier?
So I saw the mandalas.
Okay.
And I would consciously go through my own death porthole and wake up in these higher dimensions. And one of the dimensions has these geometries. And I wrote them all down and I began to study them. There's 108 basic codes that are about this bridge of consciousness we're on as humans. And everything else is tied into that as well. So I, with help of one of the most brilliant scientists I've ever met in my life and a heart-filled, wonderful man, Dr. William Tiller. Mm-hmm. He was at the time Stanford's material science chairman. He had studied conventional crystallography and conventional ways in which the earth actually makes crystals in the ground. So he taught that and knew all the mathematics. But he went one step further. He saw that crystals can transduce or always transduce higher dimensional information into the physical. And working with him and these symbols, we were able to create crystal oscillators or crystal devices that the crystals were actually made within the field of these sacred crystals, sacred geometries. And then the crystals began to transduce higher dimensional information into physical things. And we went through all kinds of fun research in the late 80s and early 90s. So eventually we came up with a way to broadcast these sacred geometries, these mandalas of awakening through the airwaves first and then through the digital domains. And so it was working with Bill Tiller and others and then guides that are higher aspects of our own selves and that are transcending time and space, and all of it gets very wonderful and precious. We came up with this technology that you talked about.
The quantum code technology.
Yeah, the quantum code technology. And we have an app. So the breakthrough was realizing that digital communication, our cell phones, are everywhere now.
They connect us, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that the technologies are matching our calls for greater and greater unity. That's a whole different conversation, I suppose, because cell phones are controversial. They're not from nature. They don't grow on trees. They didn't grow out of our bodies.
But they're not going away.
They're not going away.
Mm-mm. Not anytime
soon. That's right. Mm-hmm. And neither are a lot of other technologies. And I'm a fan of technology. You know, So we worked with people who knew how to go through analog-digital conversions, and it gets very technical. But we found a way to broadcast these mandalas through the Internet, through a URL. And our good friend Michael Kelly came up with this idea years ago, and we have gotten to the point where we can download an app from the App Store if you have an iPhone, or Google if you have an Android, and it's called the Heart Plus app, H-E-R-T with the plus sign. And in fact, there's other heart apps out there. The simplest is to go to loveisthepower.com. Loveisthepower.com,
okay.
And then you can link right there for a one-time fee of $1.90, I think. You have these frequencies every time you turn on your cell phone. These mandalas or these natural energies will begin to be carried on your cell phone frequencies, on your cell phone.
Every time you turn it on?
Every time you turn it on, right.
Fascinating. So it's the Heart Plus app, H-E-A-R-T, it can be on the on Android as well?
Yep.
That's fascinating. Okay, so how did you get these frequencies into a URL? Explain. How did that happen?
Well, it took a lot of work. You know, it's like, how does anything get invented? Or it's through a series of insights and through a series of, I guess maybe the simple word is persistence. And I knew there was a way to get to the masses quickly.
Uh-huh.
And the intuition a long time ago, and with Michael's help in both, was to use digital technology. So we just went into research mode. I have a partner that helps with these out-of-body things and looking at information from higher dimensions. And we were given the information, and that's the simple answer to this. And then we found people who were smarter than us to figure out the mechanics of how that works.
Have you had an opportunity to test it, or is this new?
It is new. It just came out, but to make sure that it, you know, wasn't cell phones can be potentially dangerous. So we wanted to make sure that the app on the cell phone wasn't going to enhance that, those deleterious, those harmful effects. So Dr. Beverly Rubik, another beautiful scientist, beautiful human being, professor at University of California, Berkeley, biophysicist, did a 2-year study with the app. This is, you know, the before it was released, we were able to get a URL and have phones with the app and have phones with, it looks like the app, but not really the app, sham. And she did a study that found over time, the people that were using the real app, their heart rate variability increase, which is another way of saying stress went down. And so not only does the app not enhance any negativity, potential negativity from the cell phones, it also actually decreases stress from our physical hearts. It's something a cardiologist would be interested in. And that was published in a medical journal. It was such a good test that it passed the peer review. So, yes, we have done, that's the major test, and we've done many other tests as well to show that it's good for you.
It reduces stress. That's so fascinating. And you have a goal with a certain amount of people to join this app. How are you doing on that?
We're getting off to a good start. You know, there's a theory that if 1% of any system becomes coherent, becomes in resonance with each other, that it affects the rest of the 99%. Lasers work that way. 1% photons coherent create a laser beam. All the 99%, all the 100% then becomes coherent. And there's examples in nature. So our goal is to have 1% of the population in this virtual community with the app and in other ways using their own hearts. And then we expect to see something good happening.
So these are frequencies. These are they're quantum code technology, or more so frequencies that exist and have been embedded into the app or into the website or so forth.
Correct.
So just like music does, they carry waves of energy. And if you look at music waves, or even, you know, we're in a radio station, your sound, your voice is coming through in waves on our audio boards, right?
Yeah.
So this is how those types of frequencies work. And thought works the same way, right? Thought has waves?
Very insightful, absolutely.
I'm hoping.
Just like, you know, what's happening now is that my voice is going through a transducer on my phone. It's going through all these different changes. And then you're hearing it. It's going through your soundboard. And then it's being broadcast out. Information changes form and changes, you know, when you're not hearing me, my voice is somewhere in the ethers, in the radio waves, and we just need the right receiver to pick up the sound that's already there. And like that, there are millions of thoughts, and if our hearts are attuned to love, then we begin to receive thoughts
well,
that are for our next highest level.
Okay, pause button. So you and I are speaking, and that's audible. We can hear each other. Our voices present sound through a combination of vocal cords, and we can hear this.
Yep.
But our thoughts don't have that level of frequency. They don't. They're not audible.
But right? They have energy, and they have influences, for sure.
Okay, so they do have a certain kind of frequency you can't hear, right?
Right. Even our voices have frequencies that are beyond the hearing spectrum. It's called harmonics, superharmonics and subharmonics. So there's our audible sounds that our ears are vibrating, and then there's the inaudible part.
Right.
That affect the quality and the information of our voices.
Hmm. That's so interesting. My producers just wrote, I can hear the thoughts in my head. I can hear the thoughts in my head, too. I mean, it's as if I'm speaking. But then, again, it carries a frequency. It's definitely a frequency that has a substantial something to it. I don't know what you call it. Wave. Right?
Yeah. And,
okay.
And because it's from you right now, there's healing that comes through. You're a healer, Lisa, and I'm feeling that it's enhancing my life, your consciousness and your heart, because of your life journey, now is being carried within the super and subharmonics of your vocal cords and through the airwaves, and it's quite a beautiful. It's like if you say something to somebody, and it's not full of love, then it could actually be harmful. Even if you say something like "you are beautiful," but if you feel hate and all this stuff
mm-hmm.
behind the words,
mm-hmm.
plants don't grow. There's been enough tests, and people can feel it. You walk in a room, everybody's sounding happy, but you feel this crunching kind of. There's a suppressed anger. All that. Those are thoughts. Those are emotions that the physicalness may not register on an oscilloscope. But our bodies, that nervous system that we talked about earlier, can pick up on them immediately.
It's so at the same time, if we have a friend who is maybe grieving or a friend in need of help and you don't know what to do or say or you don't even know if they'll hear it, we can send these frequencies, these thoughts towards the healing and the repair that needs to happen. And this frequency, which is the highest frequency around, is love, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's an easy one.
Yeah. Because you and I are doing this right now, and we're not there actually physically helping them, which if we could, we would, you know?
Yeah.
And millions of people would do that, would help if they could physically help. So how can we help? And, of course, there's donations, and there's all kinds of ways to help. But what can we do with our own consciousness? And, yeah?
Yes, and you were in Lynn McTaggart's, one of her studies, on the power of intention, right?
Yeah, I did a talk at one of her conferences on this, yes. And intention has power. And where we start is, now we think of the tragedy in Florida or around the world, or some tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
What do we feel? Oh, I feel grief. I feel sadness. That's where I start. Unconditionally love my own grief or my own sadness or that lump in the throat, that concern for others. Love that. Love is the connector.
Mm.
And as I love my own grief, as I accept, maybe is a better word, as I just surrender into my own grief, or maybe it's my anger for a tragedy, somebody, you know, got beat up or cruel, you know, maybe it's my anger, and I have a daughter that was bullied a couple months ago, you know, and I got angry.
Mm-hmm,
so how can I help that that person? Well, I can do the physical thing, go to the talk to the teacher and all that, but I can also go to my own anger that's now associated with that act and just allow it to be without any judgment, and it's an internal process. Love will come in. Love will change the anger eventually automatically to compassion. and now I have compassion and eventually unconditional love, and that is now helping that boy who is out of fear bullying somebody. It all, we're all one here. We're all together in this.
I mean, you look at someone like Viktor Frankl and
yeah.
how he got to that place
yes.
of forgiveness is unfathomable to most of us.
Yeah.
But he got there amidst one of the biggest horrors our planet's ever seen, the Holocaust. So it is possible, but he took a long time to get there. And he did a lot of work, and he dove very deep to get there. It doesn't necessarily, you can't just flip a switch and turn anger to love. I think that's, we need to admit that that's true. But we can get there, and knowing that it's possible, if someone like Viktor Frankl, or there's another incredible woman, I can't remember her name right now, that many have written about forgiveness around the Holocaust, and it is possible. We just need to understand, I love how you explained it in scientific terms. If you really look at the building blocks here with frequencies and quantum fields and these things that we can't see, but they exist, we eventually can see them. It's how we're broadcasting right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're eventually, there's proof. So I love that we get to spend an entire hour giving these frequencies credit. Let's
yes.
give them an award.
Bless the frequencies, absolutely.
Because they exist, and we
they do.
Operate so much of our day as if they don't. I think most of the day we operate as if we don't, not maybe you, but the only time these frequencies really get a chance to get out and play is when we dream.
Right. But you're having, but you're talking now on the air, and people are listening, and there, and there's movements all around.
Mm-hmm.
There's the symptom of the change, of the transition, of the bridging. It is, instead of just being down in the dumps and sad, a lot of us, in fact, all of us at a deeper place inside of us are feeling that life can be better, even if we don't want to even think that thought because life is so horrible. But it's there. So we can't turn anger to love on our own. We love the anger. There's the we start with love. We start with our own acceptance. We accept,
mm-hmm.
we allow our own pain to be. We allow our own anger to be. We allow everything the way it is, absolutely, to be. And there's the part where nature shows up, or the divine love shows up, not because we're searching for it, not because we have an agenda to realize it, not because we're even seeking it, but because we've surrendered into this moment. And that's when nature shows up and we open our eyes and miracles are happening, or even just more energy, more hope for the future comes naturally. It's not something we have analyzed and decided to do. It's something that's naturally coming out of us at that point.
In terms of healing, what about what you just said in terms of manifesting? Moving into the future, creating goodness and so forth. I mean, can you take this frequency, this vibration, and actually manifest and create on the highest level, on the for the highest good of all? Has to be that way. To create something like a love movement on the planet or harmony, peace, those things, can you really affect that?
Definitely we can, sure. And even having that thought with an open heart starts the process or supports the process that's already happening. People don't necessarily figure things out in the long run.
Really?
People usually start to realize it, and we start to wake up to something that's always been there, and then we proclaim it's new, because in contrast, it is a new thing. But that's back to what I first started talking about, there's information fields or there's blueprints. What can we call them? There's these potential realities that already are here.
Okay.
That already know my highest good, my next highest level of good. If I'm a seed, I'm going to go to a sprout. If I'm a sprout, I'm going to go to a stem, right? Stem doesn't go back to the seed. It's got to go through the whole cycle. And that's a beautiful cycle. It goes through the blossoming cycle of the flowering. And humanity is right at that budding place. And we can enhance it with our own attention, choice of our attention, or we can sometimes interfere it with our own obsessions of just anything that we're not conscious of becomes an obsession, right, after a while, or becomes like an addiction, like a habit that we can't kick. But then as long as we can ask, what's my habit right now? I'm thinking this, I'm doing that. Even if we think it's quote-unquote wrong, start there in love. Mm-hmm. Start there and open. Release the resistance to that. And then nature has a way to come in and change the pattern naturally and manifest new things like you suggested. That's where the solutions lie.
I see. So you really can't necessarily... Well, let's talk about our own healing. So medical issues and so forth. You had medical issues. You were, quote, dying. How did you turn these frequencies inward and start to change the cellular structure that you were resonating at?
The near-death experience in 1979 was the beginning. I had the reality. I was the reality of unity pre anything, the mm-hmm. already existing love, never ending. Then I went back into my body, and my body continued to have. I had been poisoned, by the way. That was what was killing me.
By what?
Well, that's a whole other story. Somehow I got poisoned.
Mistakenly?
Just chemical poisoning and. So the poisons were doing their job. They were like trying to break down my physical system and my nervous system and my whatever.
Like pesticides, chemicals, things like that, right?
Yeah, mm. Yeah, and arsenic and other...
In the waters, yeah.
Other toxic things. So they were just in the wrong place, right? Those poisons have another existence where they'll be just fine. But in a physical body, the body gets... challenged, let's say, to have life. So, but nevertheless, all of that. And the realization was a sudden realization of wholeness and infinity, whether this body continued or not. I was already whole. I was already complete. There was no death at that level. Then reincarnating or incarnating back into our bodies, which, by the way, happens every time we wake up from deep sleep. You know, we're unconscious, right? Mm-hmm. We're not in deep sleep saying, okay, time to wake up. No, this is the force of nature. This is nature's law that's saying it's time to wake up, unless we have an alarm clock, which I hate. But anyway.
I know. Yeah. School.
Yeah. So yeah. I had that impression of wholeness, and that began to heal me. And then I was led to a doctor who did the right test. And, you know, life went mm-hmm. on, and I got better. It wasn't a miraculous, instantaneous healing. That wasn't my path. For some, it is. That's where our blueprints come in. That's where our soul's journey comes in. What is my highest good for this incarnation? I cannot answer that analytically. I can only answer it in the sense that I have faith that there is a purpose for my life, there is a purpose for your life and all of our lives. And the grand scheme of things is in play all the time, collectively.
Mm.
So we do the best we can. If we can get a healing from this or that thing, or, you know, more vitamin C or more green juices, like Bo always does, then we reap the rewards of that. If not, then We do the best we can. That's my simple answer.
Yeah, it's a complicated question, but you did a good job.
Thank you.
There's a lot here, and I highly suggest reading Robert Williams' book. It's called Love is the Power, and that is also the name of the website, loveisthepower.com. You can find the app there as well. And your story is a roller coaster, but it really proves, and after I read it, I really got the fact that these fields, these quantum fields, really exist. And if we put these, if we act as if they exist and we work with these quantum fields, and we learn that our thoughts and our words and everything can be put into these kind of building blocks of healing, then it's, as you say, it helps us live in a domain without suffering. It really, really can. That's a possibility, and you live in that domain all the time. Or do you?
I practice. I have my practice, too, and I'll get overshadowed. Like when the boy at school mm-hmm. bullied my daughter and mm-hmm. kind of started to beat up on her. Mm. I was one man, a father that was on a mission to protect my daughter.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
was appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do any loving and all, you know, so I suppose, no, in fact, I know that there are masters that are incarnated right now that never lose their quality of love and their wide angle
right.
vision, even if they're scolding somebody or, you know, getting out of the way of a truck or helping somebody. I'm not there, so I practice. It's moment by moment practice.
That's,
for me.
I get yeah. that. That's yeah. all you can really do. Yeah, and those that are fully enlightened are in a different place and they're in a different country. So,
yeah,
I'm just kidding.
Different universes. Yeah.
All right. Well, I love the fact that you said practice because, yeah, things in this earth sometimes really, really, really frustrate me too. They confuse me. I don't understand how some people have the level of unconsciousness that they have. Not saying that I am fully enlightened at all, but at least I'm somewhat aware of my actions. They're probably not always the best, but I'm aware of them at least. And that's one of the things that kind of I get to practice is unconditionally loving the level of unconsciousness that sometimes exists.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's the best I can do at this time. Thank you so much, Robert. Great conversation. And again, if you want to check out the app, you can go. It is better to go to the website. I know it's not as easily found on the stores. So loveisthepower.com, and you can look up the website there. On there, you'll find the apps. And then that emits a frequency every time that your phone is on, right?
Yep.
Okay. We'll figure that out. All right. Thank you so much, Robert. Great conversation. I appreciate it.
Lisa, thank you for having me on your show. It's been a real privilege, real joy.
Hmm.
Thanks to all your listeners and viewers as well.
Thank you.
The strong movement you've created, strong community, beautiful community.
Well, you're a part of that as well, as you said
Yay.
Earlier to me. That's how we started the
yeah.
show.
yeah.
All right, take care. Let's keep up the good work, okay?
And you.
And everyone else listening. And thank you so much for listening, by the way. And I am Lisa Garr. Thank you so much to Joyce Walker, producer and executive producer Gina Salvani. And until next time, I invite you to stay aware.